Hey there, fiends! Tomb Dragomir here with another classic Runelord Radio broadcast from the vaults. Let's open up. Here it is, November 28th, 2008. Oh, I remember that date. It was great. It's Rob Cotterill plus tons of fun on this classic Runelord Radio broadcast. Enjoy! Be sure to get your hymns from the House of Horror 2 at runelashmore.com for a limited time. Because when it's gone, it's gone.
This storm will be magnificent.
Mosquitoes bugging you? Try our new insect death ray gun.
We also have piping hot coffee laced with LSD.
Earth Angel, Earth Angel.
Right to remain silent.
I know who committed these murders.
Forever.
He's back.
Vince Van Patten is crazy about PJ's soul, but she wants to live a rock and roll fantasy with her favorite group, the Ramones.
Yeah, yeah.
Is an account of the tragedy which befell a group of five youths. It is all the more tragic in that they were young, but had they lived very, very long lives, they could not have expected, nor would they have wished to see, as much of the mad and macabre as they were to see that day. For them, an idyllic summer afternoon became a nightmare.
The Misfits. Helena.
If I cut off your arms and cut off your legs, would you still love me anyway? If you're bound in your gown, draped and displayed, would you still love me?
Why don't you love me anyway?
If I cut
up her blood all over your goddamn arm.
If I cut off your arms and I cut off your legs, would you still love me anyway? There's a spot on the floor where you refuse to be, and I close the door on my bed. Why don't you love me anyway? Why don't you love me anyway?
Believe in the boogeyman.
Room Mort Radio, the world's original all horror broadcast.
What kind of demented soul profits from the flesh of the dead and destroys the living who get in his way?
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Reward Radio, fiends. I am your host, your foremost delineator of the Draculean tomb, Dragomir.
Ow! He's all new, with gleaming fangs just for you.
This week on the broadcast.
We were sitting there and we had this other friend named Mojo Widgery. And at the time he had like long shaggy hair and he was kind of looking like a hobo. And he had just bought this, like, airsoft shotgun thing. And we were spitting out ideas, and he was like, you guys should make a, you know, a movie about me. And John looked at him and was just like, well, you look like a hobo, and you got a shotgun. Hobo with a shotgun.
The Mad Minds behind Hobo with a Shotgun and Treevenge. Jason Eisner and Rob Cotterill join us. Our blood-spattered guides digging up William Lava's lost Dracula versus Frankenstein score.
You're trying to sell a movie with a $1 makeup and costume budget, it helps to say that you are pitting the kings of monsters against each other in a battle to the death.
And the caustic critics look back at Vincent Price and Dragonwick.
You like peaches out of season. You like the feel of silk sheets against your young body. And one day you will wish with all your heart you'd never come to Dragonwick.
Terror tunes en route from Electric Six, Ghoul Town, Darkest of the Hillside Thickets, Public Image Limited, and tons more fun to come. Fiends, stick around. Time to get this party started. Here's Ray Gun Cowboys, Devil's Son, on your home for horror, rock and roll, the mighty Room Mort.
When we feel it coming, you can hear the fate. There's England.
Well, I'm the devil's son. Well, I'm the devil's son.
to whip out your Zulu death mask and take a ride with Deadbolt, Macumbo's revenge.
Toby Hooper. I'm here at the 2008 Festival of Fear, and you're listening to Rue Morgue Radio.
All right. Just stop the f***ing spitting.
All right, so first of all, what is the state of the Church of Satan?
I was going to ask you about Wes Craven, and now I'm ashamed to.
Les Messman style.
Possibly the Antichrist.
Like a zombie character on Sesame Street. All of a sudden, it seems so irrelevant. Continue.
I speak nothing but the fucking English language. And if that's infamous, then
tough titters.
All right, this is Feedback. And joining me in the studio today is the director-producer combo pack, Jason Eisner and Rob Cotterill, the Canadian East Coast miscreants responsible for such celebrated Shaw films as Hobo with a Shotgun and their latest award-winning nastiness, Treevenge. Also joining us, the one and only Iron Mike Felsher.
Hello!
Hey!
Welcome, fellas, to Rue Morgue Radio.
Hey. Thank you.
And the cool thing is you guys are actually fans of the show, like you listen every week.
Yeah, this is actually kind of like a mini dream come true.
I'm going to just say
this is a mini
not
one.
Not a major
yeah,
dream.
The sad thing is he's not joking.
I was telling Dave Alexander last night that like my car over the years has been like filled up with like blank CDs of past Rue Morgue radio shows from over the past like couple of years. So
you're actually starstruck.
Yeah.
Oh, please.
You don't know what you might be able to get him to do later.
Yeah,
but you guys have a couple of really interesting Rue Morgue Radio-related tales relating to your film, so let's begin with Hobo with a Shotgun. Tell me how you got the music for that particular short.
Well, because I've been listening to the show over the years and, you know, reading the magazine, I first discovered this group called The Giallo's Flame. There was a review, I forget what issue it was, and you guys played a couple of his tracks on the show, and you know, I fell in love with it. I bought his album and I started messaging him like over MySpace, kind of just being a fan, saying, you know, I hope that one day that I make something that's kind of, you know, worth using your music for, that, you know, you would be into scoring something that I make. And I sent him, like, the first, like, minute of the video, and I said, look, man, like, if you know anyone who could score this, I sent it to him, and I got an email from him the next day that was like, man, I've been working on this all night. This is awesome. Like, I'm really excited about this. And he, like, created, like, all the tracks for our Hobo trailer.
Spread the word, you dirty cocksuckers. Tell all your grave robbing friends I want them out of the city now!
Hobo with a shotgun. The streets gave birth to a stray dog who is now fed up. Living on the streets is tough. And it's about to get tougher.
Bank, you want in on this $10? Come on!
Violence, cruelty, murder. The streets will be lonelier because this hobo's taken off. He's cashing in his nickels and dimes for a new way of life. But getting out isn't that easy.
Give me the money or I'll take this bitch up!
This hero is going to have to deliver justice one shell at a time.
And Treevenge, you have a Rumor Radio related anecdote with that one as well.
Yeah, I discovered this other group called Morte Macabre. Like, I remember discovering it on the radio show, downloaded some of their songs off their website, and when it came to scoring Treevenge, I laid that down as a temp track. And I didn't really think we'd be allowed to use it. And I just messaged them on MySpace. I sent them the opening of the film and told them, you know, what we were doing. And they were totally down with it.
Yeah, they said we can use whatever we wanted of their music, which was awesome.
That's fantastic.
You guys are always, you know, playing stuff from up and coming, like,
bands. Yeah, showcasing talent. And the same thing with the magazine. It showcases talent. And
that's wicked.
What we use to...
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of...
It's perfect time because I'm just about to, you know, we're all about to ask them for a raise. So this is perfect timing that you guys are here.
I mean, I can think of dozens of instances where Rumor Radio has had direct influence
really?
On the filmmakers, yeah.
Are you fucking with me?
Yes, I'm fucking with you. Well, shit. Dan, I was hoping that...
No wonder they call you Slipcase.
Oh,
all right.
Shit.
So, let's start with Hobo with a Shotgun. It was produced for the Robert Rodriguez-organized Grindhouse Film Festival at the South by Southwest Music Festival. How did you guys first learn about it, and why did you get involved with it?
Basically, like, the day that we found out about the contest, like, I called Rob and told him, you know, like, we should do something for this. And he got us out that night, and we started shooting, like, the night that we found out about the competition. Yeah,
the trailer was a very impressive trailer. And one thing I've always wanted to ask you guys is, it starts off with the guy, the narration's perfect. When it starts off, hobo with a shotgun. But by the end of it, I swear to God, you had him ratcheted
he's
up.
Screaming.
To the, hobo with a shotgun!
Oh, yeah.
And it was just, to me, it got increasingly more absurd, and that's what I loved about it.
Hobo with a shotgun. Rated R.
Why hobo with a shotgun of all possible things?
Well, the idea came about, there's this, like, pizza joint back home that we go to and, you know, kind of pitch each other ideas for films. And my buddy John Davies, who's, like, the writer on Hobo, we were sitting there and we had this other friend named Mojo Widgery. And at the time he had, like, long, shaggy hair and he was kind of looking like a hobo. And he had just bought this, like, airsoft shotgun thing. And we were spitting out ideas and he was like, you guys should make a movie about me. And John looked at him and was just like, well, you look like a hobo and you got a shotgun. Hobo with a shotgun.
Hobo with a shotgun.
Oh, it's imitating life.
It's awesome.
Wow. We were at LA at the Grindhouse premiere and we got the call from Jim Sherry, who was then at Alliance. And he's like, we want to put your trailer in front of Grindhouse across the country. We want to, like, cut 35mm prints. And we were like, holy fuck, like, what are you guys, and we're down there, so we were like, for the next 4 hours, we're on the phone trying to figure out to get our friends to get, you know, the files to Alliance.
Yeah, it was crazy because, like, it was, you know, it was just this contest, and, you know, we had won, and that was awesome, and we were just going to LA to experience, you know, the Grindhouse movie, and we were on our way to go check out Universal Studios, and as soon as we get up to the front gate, we get this call from Alliance Atlantis back here. We're like, yeah, we want to make, like, 286 prints of your,
jeez,
like, trailer. So that was insane. Like, I never even heard of that before. Like, we shot the thing with, like, a, you know,
DVX 100.
Oh, yeah, the old Panasonic DVX 100.
Yeah, so like this DV, like, you know, mini DV tape, you know, blown up onto,
which 35. Made it even greasier. Like,
yeah, it looked real shitty. It was awesome.
And when Alliance sent it out to all the theaters, like, Grindhouse had already been struck and cut with the trailers and everything. They'd already been shipped out, and then they sent out our trailer separately. So the projectionist got this trailer, and they were like, I don't know what the instructions were, but just put this with Grindhouse. So they didn't really know what to do. Some of them cut it like in with the real trailers, you know, unrated.
Oh, I would have liked to have seen it like that, because I saw it first and then the movie.
Right. Yeah. So people were like, "What?"
And, is there really a hobo with a shotgun coming?
And then, and then we kept getting these emails and stories, because they'd cut it into the movie, like they cut it in after Machete or after, like in, and sometimes even in with the don't, like the ones in the middle, and it was just, you know, so everyone got a different experience of where they happened to see Hobo in the theater, which was pretty exciting.
Yeah, I got tons of emails from people in the States who were like, we even stayed till the end of the credits.
Where the fuck was the Hobo trailer? How come we don't get the Hobo trailer?
Tune in next week for part two of my interview with Jason Eisner and Rob Cottrell, featuring Mike Felcher.
Public Image Limited. Francis Massacre. 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 Massacre.
Contaminated.
You don't even know what that word means.
It's not contaminated. It's just tap water pouring his bowl. Houdini? Bo, don't run. What's wrong, boy? Stop it, Houdini.
There's a glass of time for the legendary Shack Shaker. Something in the water. Hungry Morgue Radio.
Joel's got the evening carbine room. Digging ditches since 62. West Paducah City on the go. Tiny fingers growing out of those elbows. Down in building C4 double knot. Sons of bitches thought they never get caught. Guzzling golden bar whiskey at work. Beating the drums down into the dirt. And putting something in the water. Something weird in the water. Killing your sisters and your brothers. Something in the coral waters. So while you're sneaking gold out of hydrogen bombs, playing pistol grips and carrying on, your boss is doing the exact same thing. Sucking atoms out of your sewage drain. And that dense fog of uranium dust can't hide the leaky buckets of rust. The ugly truth will put you in the ground. So rise up and burn the pump house down. Something in the water. Something in your daughter. Killing your sisters and your brothers. Something in the cold real water. Kill at will. Molly cuddled on Colonel Mothersville. Smuggled his muzzle into Heat High School. Sat his friends holding hands round the flagpole. Must be something in the water. Something weird in your mothers. Killing your sisters and your brothers. Something in the coral water. Something in the water. Something weird in your daughter. Blame your greedy grandfathers for putting something in the cold well water. Hey!
Something in the water, yeah, legendary Shack Shaker, shaking it down for you. We got the Blood Spattered Guide upcoming, yeah, William Lava, plus tons of other stuff. And Shannon, what's happening with Shannon? Shannon, how's that local sports team?
Why, thank you, too. Nice sunny day, isn't it? I don't know. Surround yourself with the sights, sounds, smells, and sensations of nature's night shift. You can explore the intriguing and often unseen elements of a cave, the ocean, a forest, and even beneath the soil of your own backyard. Now, this may not seem like horror, but you never know what might happen in the dark. You can go to naturemuseum.org for more details. This all takes place at the Peggy Notberg Nature Museum in Chicago. And Cthulhu-palooza is a once-in-a-lifetime event happening on Saturday, December 6th at the Rio Theater in Vancouver, BC, Canada. It features a very special live performance by the Lovecraftian rock band The Darkest of the Hillside Thickets, a rock band competition with prizes from many sponsors, including Harmonix and Jones Soda, as well as a chance to sing the exclusive rock band track Shh with The Darkest of the Hillside Thickets. There's also a screening of the silent film adaptation of the classic weird tale, The Call of Cthulhu, as produced by the H.P. Lovecraft Historical Society, along with other short films to be announced. Go to CthulhuPalooza.ProtonCharging.com for more details. And if you feel like staying in, the others in Motel Hell will be gracing the small screen on Friday night for the Friday Night Frightmare on Space, so feel free to make it a nice night in. Just watch it if you've got a can of Farmer Vincent's Fritters. If you want to let me know about what's happening, send me an email, shannon@roommorgradio.com.
Darkest of the Hillside Thickets. Cthulhu Dreams.
Oh my, you scare easily.
I'd really like to glance through that book, the Necronomicon.
Oh, that's impossible.
I've traveled a long way.
The library is closing.
Come on, give me 5 minutes.
Absolutely not. Wait a minute. I don't suppose it would do any harm. Are
you crazy? Yar Sothoth is the gate whereby the spheres meet. Only them from beyond can make it multiply and work. Yog-Sothoth is the key. And with the gate open, the old ones shall be. Past, present, future, all are.
Hi, this is Eric Wolf. I play Kenny in George Romero's Blank of the Dead, and you're listening to Rumored Radio.
The night is my domain.
Hello, I'm Lisa Ladouceur with your blood-spattered guide to music on Rumored Radio. Are you making a list, checking it 2 times? Whether you're Jewish, Buddhist, a mutant from another world, I bet you have a list. I made one recently for RumOrg.com, the new staff pick section where you can find out which movies, books, even poster art and CDs the dark denizens of RumOrg magazine and RumOrg radio recommend to you. Of course, I picked top five vampire movie music scores. Philip Glass, Dracula, Vampiros, Lesbos were on my list. One thing not in my top five, the music from Dracula versus Frankenstein. There's a good reason for that. I'd never heard the music from this movie. It wasn't available on CD, but recently a small label has unearthed the material. They love to do this, rescue and reissue the sounds of classics and even not so classics. The movie is from 1971, and even though it has cameos by Lon Chaney Jr. and Forrest J. Ackerman, I have never been inclined to see this film, mostly because of photos that seem to indicate the budget for makeup and costumes was about a dollar in 1971, and they spent it all at, like, Kmart.
Attention, Kmart shoppers!
The movie has been known under many names, Blood of Frankenstein, Satan's Bloody Freaks, Teenage Dracula, The Revenge of Dracula, The Blood Seekers, and then finally, Dracula versus Frankenstein, because I guess if you're trying to sell a movie with a $1 makeup and costume budget, it helps to say that you are pitting the kings of monsters against each other in a battle to the death.
Young girls for old ghouls, and you take us in Dracula versus Frankenstein. Yesterday they were cold and dead, today they're hot and bothered. No female is safe from the hideous plans, as the prettiest captives are lured into the arms of artificially created men. There's no way out when dead beings must have live women. See Dracula versus Frankenstein, rated PG.
The music for the movie has an interesting story. It was composed by William Lava. William Lava is best known for working on Looney Tunes. He also did Thriller, Boris Karloff. He did an episode of The Twilight Zone, worked on The Pink Panther. But he is known as the guy who made the music for The Roadrunner.
Meep, meep. Meep, meep.
He also did the best Looney Tunes episode ever, Transylvania 65,000.
Hey, that's what I need. Something to read. Magic words and phrases. Sounds interesting. Hey, yeah. Magic can be performed either by potions or by the use of magic words and phrases. Among the most powerful of these is the word abacadabra. Yeah, oh, sure it is. Sick humor. Since I left Cucamonga. Magic words. Golly, what big mosquitoes they do have around here. Hold still, you little devil. There!
And so I wanted to hear the score regardless of how I felt about the film. And this CD by Elize Productions is so comprehensive. It's more than you would ever need to learn or listen to about the music of Dracula versus Frankenstein. And there's a great audio commentary track on here, just like a DVD, where Sherman describes the process of making the music for this film and how he had approached William Lava to come on board and tried to show him what kind of horror movie music he wanted. Lots of tubas and ponderous music, he called it.
Well, he mixed the picture together and sent me a copy of it. I thought it was horrible. I didn't like the film to begin with, but I thought it was horrible the way the music was utilized in most cases, and it was so bassy that you couldn't hear any brilliance to it at all. I really didn't like it.
What William Lava brought to the project, Sherman didn't love. He didn't love the movie either, so he reshot and he recut a bunch of things and then found out that the original score wasn't working for him at all. Unfortunately, William Lava was dead at this time.
By that time, Bill Lava had passed away.
Sherman himself went in and sort of fixed it up. What you get on the CD is both of their work. And I like the William Lava cues and themes. When I listen to them, I can picture Bugs Bunny walking down the castle, Dracula, maybe breaking up the fight between Dracula and Frankenstein. It would have made a more interesting film.
Abracadabra!
In addition to the original, never-before-heard William Lava cues and themes, you get the re-edits by Sherman and this awesome audio track of vintage trailers, not only Dracula versus Frankenstein, but The Mad Doctor of Blood Island, and many more. So there's a lot to recommend about this CD, even if it's not going to make it into my Vampire Music Top 5. You can order it from ElizeProductions.com. Support these guys. They're doing good archival audio work. Now I want to play the original William Lava title theme from Dracula versus Frankenstein. Here it is on Rue Morgue Radio.
We'll be right back. Critical Mass and Anchor Bay Entertainment present I Remember Halloween, the art of ghoulish Gary Bullen. Teddy, making
monsters. Featuring terror tunes from Tomb Dragoneer, Rotten Roll by DJ Shannon, plus classic horror trailers, gastric giveaways, and more.
Come celebrate an evening of all original horror imagery with Rumor Magazine's legendary art director, ghoulish Gary Pullen.
Gary reanimates nostalgia and unleashes it to bite your ass.
I Remember Halloween, the art of ghoulish Gary Pullen. Saturday, December 20th, 1214, Queen Street West, Toronto, the Gladstone Hotel. Visit ghoulishgary.com for details. Making monsters
fly. From the makers of 30 Days of Night and the Grudge movies comes Ghost House Underground. 8 cutting-edge horror films, handpicked by the most trusted names in horror. Ghost House Underground. Grab all 8 films on DVD October 14th.
Or an incredible simulation, and you're listening to Rumorg Radio.
The Caustic Critic.
Controversial, unrelenting, it's brutal, it's nasty,
sensational.
The worst of the worst.
Offend everyone equally.
Bowling.
Barely.
This stuff shit scrapes off the bottom of its shoes.
They're mean.
So what was the actor's name?
Oh god, what a plank he is.
They're here.
Are you ready? It's time for the Caustic Critics.
Alright, this is Feedback.
And this is James Burrell.
And this week we're taking a look at Dragonwyck, starring Vincent Price. It's out now on DVD for the very first time, courtesy of Fox, part of the Fox Horror Classics Volume 2 box set.
You like it here?
Of course I do. Of course you do. You like being waited on.
Dragonwyck is a 1946 gothic horror romance starring Gene Tierney and Vincent Price.
This is Vincent Price.
Gene Tierney plays a young farmer's daughter who falls madly in love with and marries a rich and ruthless landowner, Nicholas Van Ryan, a nasty piece of work played by Vincent Price.
Vincent Price.
And the two live unhappily ever after at a ghostly gothic mansion estate known as Dragonwyck.
And one day you will wish with all your heart you'd never come to Dragonwyck.
Vincent Price, he's this rich, aristocratic landowner of Dutch ancestry. This land has been in his family for centuries, and he feels it's his God-given right, you know, to have this land. He has a number of tenant farmers, and they basically had enough. They say, you know, we're not going to pay you any longer to work your land. What's in it for us? And they stage an uprising.
Dr. Turner's efforts to incite anti-rent rebellion in our local district have been well known to me for many months now. Just what is it he wants you to want so passionately? It has an assortment of highly romantic names, the rights of man, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness and such. And all those will be yours with the titles to a few acres of soil. Believe me, my welfare does not depend upon you. Rather, you depend upon it. But my rents and tributes and my responsibilities are hereditary, the symbols of a way of life to which I have been born and in which I shall continue to live. I shall never relinquish my position.
Price considered this to be one of his favorite films that he did personally. It's always a film that he mentioned as one of the films that he was most proud of. It's a film that a lot of his fans sight as one of his best performances, and it's really great to see him in a role where he plays such a hideous, unpleasant character. Not since really the Witchfinder General has he played such an outward, despicable human being. Although he did actually play a number of despicable roles early on in his career outside of the horror genre, like in The Song of Bernadette.
I'm not like these thousands of souls, flickering brightly and hopefully in the darkness. My pride has always stood between them and me. The pride of being a superior human being.
People are so accustomed to seeing Vincent Price in the Edgar Allan Poe films of the 60s and the 70s, and of course Dr. Fives' Theater of Blood, where he was almost sending himself up and getting really into camp theatrics. But these early films, Dragonwyck Shock, Laura, a number of films, it's surprising to see the range of depth that Price possessed.
We should mention, it's not really a traditional horror movie, it's like a gothic horror.
It's a gothic romance.
Yeah, it's been referred to as the Lost Vincent Price Poe film, because it has all the trappings of the traditional Poe films that he did. The gothic mansion, the weird, sinister character, the music, the sort of atmosphere.
You have the thunder and lightning trappings. You have the supposed haunted room with the music playing from it. The insanity of several of the characters.
It's a lady. She's singing and playing the harpsichord. Katrine. It's like a lullaby, but it must be funny, because every now and then she laughs. There, she's laughing now. Don't you hear it? It's getting louder and louder. Oh, I don't like it now. Make her stop. I'm afraid. I'm afraid. Make her stop.
His young daughter, who is only, she's only a young child, what, 9, 10 years old, she hears these periods of music, of a harpsichord and singing coming from one of the rooms. Now, is this really happening, or is it in their mind? And it's never really made 100% clear to the viewer. You know, are we having something going on like Roderick Usher in The Fall of the House of Usher?
For hundreds of years, evil thoughts and evil deeds have been committed within these walls. The house itself is evil now.
And finally, we should mention it has some kick-ass special features, a commentary track by author Steve Haberman and filmmaker Constantine Nasser, an isolated score track so you could just watch the movie with just the music, and this is one of the films that you could actually really enjoy watching it because it is so visually splendiferous.
Visually stunning.
This is the kind of movie that just lends itself to late at night, you turn off the lights.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, but we're out of time, so thank you very much, James, for being on.
Thank you so much for having me on today, Stuart.
If you want more information about the Fox Horror Classics Volume 2 box set, go to the website at www.foxhome.com.
Visually stunning!
Electric Six, the band in hell.
Long. It's a sold-out show, and there is only one song. There is no rhythm, and there is no rhyme. It goes on forever until the end of time. This is what I've become. I'm
Let's kill that fucking band.
Yeah, I mean, just
last. It's perfect time because I'm just about to, you know, we're all about to ask them for a raise.
Damn right.
Are you fucking with me?
Yes, I'm fucking with you.
Visually stunning.